Good morning. So I just was here a few weeks ago, actually, speaking on the Father's love, and didn't get all the way through, so we're going to do a part two. But actually, this part two is a bit of a different, so we were kind of doing the vertical with the Father's love, receiving his love for us. And this morning, I want to focus a bit more on the horizontal love of the Father, about how we love each other and how important the body of Christ is. And I feel like it's very, very timely. This morning, we were just praying for all of our members that are struggling, and there's so much happening, even in our own family. Some of you may have seen, Noka has been in the hospital a couple times this week with different weird things happening. And then we also, our car died while I was on the way to the hospital for something weird on Sunday, and it's dead. And so we've been borrowing Pastor Chuck's car for a few days just to get around, and we're very thankful for that. So we've been going through some stuff as well. In times like this, we need each other. We need each other's prayers and support, and it's essential to us finishing the race is to be running together. We cannot do it alone, for we will fail. And there's a quote here at the bottom that I think is really powerful. It says, "If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together." That's like the enemy's biggest weapon, I think, against the church is isolation. It's a desire to hide, to protect, actually kills you, and it kills us. But being together and going together saves us. And we're going to talk about some of these scriptures that are not talked about so often, how we actually save each other. Yeah, and here in John 13, we talked about this at the beginning of the Father's love, because it says, "As a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you." So as the Father loved us, it's just so important to know the Father's love. And then we must love one another. By this, by our love for one another, we know this, but do we really know it? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How many times does it say love one another in that scripture? I think three times at least, and there's only three sentences. Something I learned once in Bible school was if the Holy Spirit repeats something three times, you got to pay attention. And so we know this. I'm just talking to the choir, right? We know we love each other. But there's something to this, to love one another. Everyone will know that we're his disciples. And there's something powerful about evangelism. We are told to do that. We need to go out on the streets. We need to, talk to our neighbors and our friends. But through community, it's supernatural. Community is supernatural. It's not a natural thing to lay down your life for someone else. And when people see the supernatural work of the church, not the division actually ruins our witness, right? We know this. We've seen this. But unity actually brings people into the kingdom. And it's not easy. I was going to say it's so easy. It's not easy because it needs the Holy Spirit to do it. But it's not our work. Isn't that awesome? It's not so much pressure that we have to be like, well, we are supposed to go find the lost too. Don't forget. But there's also, can actually, like, loving one another and loving people is the way to bring people to the kingdom. It's pretty awesome. Thank you, Jesus. But that's his love, right? It's his love for us, and that we then extend out to one another. And it is supernatural, and it's powerful. So powerful. The Western world, unfortunately, has some troubles with community, because individualism is a bit of a snake that has gotten right into the Western church. My faith, my walk with God, my way of doing things. It's you do you. That's a big one we say a lot in at least my generation. Maybe you guys don't say that. You do you. That's a big one. You do you. You do what you want. I'll do what I want. And we'll just kind of keep going. It's very individualistic. Now, I have married a man from a part of the world that is actually not individualistic. They are very group-minded. And so in missions, we learn a lot about cross-cultural communication. And something we've learned about is something called hot climate, cold climate. And we are from the cold climate, this particular area in the world. Leo is from the hot climate, physically, but also the way that the culture works. You probably know a bit about hot culture climate, eh? Some of us in here have come from hot culture, but I would say majority are from cold culture. And it's not bad. There's some really beautiful things about both, right? It's not, one's right, one's wrong. There's, kingdom culture is in there. And, we pick out the things that are from Jesus in both cultures, and we want to live by those, right? But some things we got to recognize in ourselves, our weaknesses, and the things where we grew up actually, really impacts the way that we see the world. And individualism no matter what you think, has impacted your view on Christianity and on Jesus and on the world. Here's a little comparison. There's so many differences, but this is just an interesting one. It talks about right here directly, individual versus group orientation. So cold culture climate, which is North America, many, many European countries as well. Hot climate, I would say, would be like South America, a lot of Asian countries, definitely Polynesia, Africa. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, this is not, again, this is not like one's better than the other. This is just like a reality, and it's good to kind of pull things. Yeah, it's different, and it's good to pull things from both and see, okay, this is what Jesus thinks as well. When the Bible was written, like that particular Middle Eastern country, Israel, was also hot climate. So when we're reading the scripture, we need to think of it as these people are understanding things through a group orientation, not an individualistic orientation, which is huge. It's huge. Cold climate. This is, I think, therefore I am. Hot climate. I belong, therefore I am. Wow. Very different. How do we even unpack that? Isn't that interesting? But it's very true. Our thinking capacity is so important to us, like, you know, being logical and, you know, I'm thinking, therefore I am. So I can make my own decisions. I do my thing. Hot climate, I belong, therefore I am. So their whole identity actually comes from outside of themselves, from the group that they're in, the village that they're from, the family they're from. Whereas we, you know, make our own way. Once we're out of our house with the parents, I'm finding my own way, my own identity. I figured out, you know, what I think, what I believe kind of makes me do what I do. Whereas hot climate, what they come from, the group is sort of dictating what they then do. So that's interesting. Cold climate. I am a self-standing person with my own identity. So this is what we just said. Hot climate. My identity is tied to the group, the family, or the tribe. Cold climate. Every individual should have an opinion and can speak for him or herself. Hot climate. The group protects and provides for me. Cold climate. Taking initiative within a group is good and expected. Hot climate. Taking initiative within a group can be greatly determined by my role. So within a group in a hot culture climate, for example, Leo's village, if there's a decision to be made within the village, generally it depends on your role. If you're a chief or you're like a head of the family, you have more say. You would be able to initiate a change within the village. If you're just, you know, a random person or part of the family, maybe just a brother or a son or whatever, or you know what I mean, right? So Leo's dad, he's the head of his whole family, extended family. He's actually the chief within his whole extended family. Leo's dad makes the decisions. So Leo could not just kind of come in and say, I think we're going to do this. And everyone would go, what? Wait, like, what did your dad say? So, but us, we'd be like, oh, I'm just going to come in and make this change because I know what I'm doing sometimes. No, there is sometimes, you know, the boss and stuff like that. But in general, we think taking initiative is a good thing, which isn't bad. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's just interesting. Cold climate. One must know how to make one's own decisions. Hot climate, I do not expect to have to stand alone. Cold climate, this one is huge. My behavior reflects on me, not on the group. Hot climate, my behavior reflects on the whole group. Everything you do impacts everyone else. Team members and or subordinates expect direction from the leader. So that's just interesting to think about. Maybe it's new, maybe it's not new, but I find it very interesting. Privacy versus inclusion. This is another interesting one. Cold climate. People enjoy having time and space to themselves. Hot climate is a group-oriented culture. We just talked about this. So there is no space in the hot climate. There's no bubble. Actually, in Leo's particular home in Samoa, there's no walls. Like within the homes, there's no walls. So everyone sees everything at all times. Like, it is just everyone is together all the time. And it's beautiful. And it's not like someone's needing to take some space for myself because I'm, what's the word? Introverted. Introverted is not a thing. Like, it's just not. Like, they're just all together. And it's beautiful. And it's a family, you know? And they're always, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a family. We don't know, have any clue what that means as a Western nation. No clue what it means to have a village together to raise your children. Leo was making a joke, oh, if we go home, like, we wouldn't even know where the kids are 90% of the time. We'd have a real break. And I was like, oh, that's true. Like, because they're with the aunties, the uncles, the cousins. They're all, you know, doing whatever they do. We would have no idea what they're doing. Yeah, because the whole village is a family. and they all take care of each other, and it's amazing. Okay, cold climate. People are expected to ask permission to borrow something or to interrupt a conversation in cold climate. Hot climate. Individuals know they are automatically included in conversation, meals, and the other activities of the group. This is so funny. When Leo went to Hong Kong, he was with a bunch of Westerners within the room. Like, the boys were staying in a room together. And there was a couple of Western guys and a couple, one Fijian and one Samoan. So there's two hot climate and two cold climate. And the cold climate guys had labeled their food. And then Leo and his friend, the next day, where'd my food go? Or is the same with like your lotion, you know, no one would use your lotion, you know, but it's the same when you go to Fiji and, you know, this is so funny. If you go to Fiji or Samoa and you say, oh, I like your necklace, right away, they give it to you immediately. Oh, you like my necklace? Here you go. Because it's yours. Everything's ours. Like it's all, we're all together, you know, or someone sees, you know, you've left your clothes on the line and there's a nice shirt hanging there. You might not see it the next day. But it's totally fine. Like, it's all everybody's. Now, as a cold climate culture, it's hard going into a hot climate culture. Because we expect, like, that's my shirt. What? But the generosity that they have because they're able to just share everything is incredible. We always teach our kids to share, but then do we really want to share? Do we really know what sharing means? Sharing everything. Cold climate. Each person is considered to be the steward of his or her possessions and has a responsibility to maintain and protect them. So this is kind of along the same lines. And then in hot climate, possessions are to be used freely by all. So everyone takes care of it as well. There's all the shared responsibility. Tools, clothes, food, which is amazing. Like when Leo said, if a few of them are building a house for a neighbor or a friend, the neighbor provides their food all day, even though they're being paid to do their work. The neighbor is feeding them all day. Like, oh, you're here building my house. Here's more food. Here's more things. Here's more this. You know, they're just sharing all their resources. Like back in the day, they used to have barn raisings, right? I don't know. Maybe some people know. Something like that. You know, just everyone comes together and, oh, I've got, you know, a wrench. I'll bring it over. Like, and it just becomes part of the community tool belt, I guess. You know, like it's all shared amongst each other, which is amazing. They share their resources amazingly. In hot climate, it says it's not desirable to be left to oneself. You don't really have your own stuff. Like, it's just not a thing there. Cold climate. It is acceptable to hold private conversations or make exclusive plans with a few people, not including everyone present. In hot climate, it's rude to hold a private conversation or make plans that exclude others. So this is like, as well, if there's a village wedding. The entire island comes to this wedding. It's not about if you're invited or not. You just come. Everybody comes. And then there has to be food for everybody, which is funny. Or a funeral is the same, right? Everybody comes, even if you didn't know the guy. Or if you're having a birthday party, you know, the cousin brings his, like, six friends that were over that day, and they all just show up at your house. Like, there's just everyone is included, which I think is awesome. I love that everybody's included for everything. Yes, and you don't have private conversations, which is true. Like, every conversation you have is public, so everyone knows everything. It can be good, can be bad. It's both, you know. There's a lot of accountability there, that's for sure. Exactly. Well, no, so that's what I'm trying to get the point. Like, the Hebrews, the Jewish people, as they were reading the scriptures, they're viewing it as a group. Everything that they read is not you singular, it's you plural. It's you together as a community. And I think that is such a mind-boggling idea for us, and we need to get it through our heads, that you is us. You is us when it comes to the word. And yes, you do have a sense, like, your own responsibility. You need to, like, do things and walk with the Lord and stuff. But most things that are commanded, it's in a group setting, which makes some things a little bit easier. It's not so, like, lonely, right? But look at that picture. It's pretty funny, eh? That's Jesus the head and all a whole bunch of strange random faces in the body. I found that picture one time on the internet and I was like, I got to use this. It's a good visual. So I'm going to read so that you could see each scripture out there because it's nice to have the visual too. But hopefully you guys all brought your Bibles because now we're going to have to actually read it together, which is a good thing. So we're going to start with Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. So then ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. in him the whole building is fitted together, that was bolded, together, and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you two are being built together, so that you is plural, into a dwelling place for God and his Spirit. Okay, and the next, we're not going to read the next scripture yet, but there is a next scripture. And you know this, the verse where everyone says, you are the temple, you need to take care of yourself, you know, keep your body strong and physically fit, etc., because the Holy Spirit's dwelling inside you. So let's go there. 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17. So 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17. This is the scripture that I just quoted. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Now that we just read that from Ephesians 2:19, it says we're being built together into a dwelling place for God, growing together into a holy temple in the Lord. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Now, who is that temple? We are us. Yes, you is us. If you destroy God's temple, God will destroy you. Maybe he takes that a little seriously when we destroy each other, for lack of a better term. Yes, all of you together, together. So you are together God's temple. So we are God's temple. Not me. I'm not God's temple. I'm part of God's temple. But we are the temple. And God very much takes seriously how we treat the temple and how we treat each other. He says it right there. Woo! If anyone destroys God's temple, the body of Christ, or us, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and we are that temple. I just think that's so powerful, because I think instantly our eyes say you as in me, like always, just in through our culture. I mean, maybe you've got this right. Maybe you've already been reading it as you plural this whole time. Awesome. Okay, no, haven't. Okay, there's a few, and I haven't. So you, we are that temple. Sometimes. But the majority of the time, you is actually plural. So do you, us, not know that you, us, yourselves, are God's temple? Together. Awesome. Cool. Next one. Ooh, here it comes. Here comes the good stuff. Jude 1:20. Jude is such a great little tiny book. Actually, we'll start at 19. Jude 1, well, there's only one chapter, but we'll start the one right before that, 19. These are the ones who cause divisions, who are worldly and devoid of the Spirit. Interesting that the word is division there. But you, who is you? Us, beloved, by building yourselves up together in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God as you wait the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Come on, verse 22. And indeed, have mercy on those who doubt. Now 23, here comes the real clincher. Save others by snatching them from the fire, and to still others show mercy tempered with fear, hating even the clothing stained by flesh. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Now, I love that imagery, because oftentimes we always picture Jesus as the one saving us, right? Jesus' hand coming in and getting us out of the fire. But can we also snatch each other out of the fire? I think we can. It says it too right here. Save others by snatching them from the fire. So here it says, have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them right up out of that fire. So we have the responsibility to save each other from sin, save each other from doubt, save each other from fear and from the fire itself. Phew, what a responsibility, eh? James 5, 19. This one's pretty powerful. They all are. I mean, it's the Bible. James 5, 19. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, consider this. Whoever turns a sinner from the errors of his way will save his soul from death and cover over a multitude of sins. If one of you, so if one of the temple, one of us, it's not necessarily saying some out there, right? Because it's actually someone wandering from the truth. They've already had the truth and they're wandering. Someone should bring him back. Us, it's our responsibility. Consider this, that when someone turns a sinner from the error of his ways, he will save a soul from death and cover over a multitude of sins. That is so powerful. That's us. Us. Yeah, we could just end there. Woo! Go save each other from death. Okay. Hebrews 3, verse 12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a wicked heart of unbelief that turns away from the living God. Okay, what's that first phrase there? See to it, brothers and sisters. But see to it. Interesting. What is see to it? What would that connotation sort of mean? It's our responsibility. Yes. See to it. Get on to it, brothers. Brothers, family, temple, body, make sure. But that's a you word, right? Like it's us word, us responsibility. Yes, see to it. You make sure that none of you has a wicked heart of unbelief that turns away from the living God. Whoa. So if someone has maybe turned away, yes, we can't say that like it's all completely our fault. People have their own choices, right? However, maybe there's a bit of it that's our fault if someone turns away. It's the love. It's the love of the Lord. Yes, if we're lacking in love, if we're lacking in responsibility and sharing our walk, people turn away from the living God. Verse 13. How can we stop this? Verse 13. But exhort one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Daily. How often do we meet? Weekly. Bi-weekly sometimes if you're true. Monthly sometimes, right? Daily. Exhort one another. Whew. What does exhort mean? Encourage, lift up, build up. There's a lot of things here. Strongly encourage someone to do something is what I have here. So it's strongly encourage someone to do something, not just, oh, you're so pretty. But hey, you need to go to church tomorrow because I haven't seen you for 3 weeks. No, you don't say that, but maybe you say that. They strongly encourage one another to do something, not just a little fluffy flattery. Yeah, no sugar talking. Amen. Strongly encourage someone to do something daily so that we will not be hardened or deceived into sin. Whew! Sorry, guys, I'm like preaching myself right now. This is powerful stuff. The Bible is powerful. Okay, Hebrews 12, 14 to 15. Hebrews 12, 14. Pursue peace with everyone, as well as holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Okay, interesting. I often have read this as without holiness, we won't see the Lord, because there is another verse that says that. However, without peace with everyone, no one will see the Lord. Interesting. Without peace with everyone, you won't see the Lord. Okay, it's a bit heavy. Oh, here we go. See to it, that little phrase again. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitterness is a key to flying away, right? We know this. We know that. Bitterness kills. But bitterness comes from disunity. It comes from relationship. Wow. See to it that no one falls short. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up. See to it. See, everybody say, see to it. It's our job. See to it. It's our job. Bitterness causes defilement. How do we guard against bitterness? By exhortation and encouragement. It says that earlier. It says, exhort one another every day, daily, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin and bitterness. Okay, hope you guys are okay. Colossians 3:16. Colossians is so good. Actually, let's start from 12. Colossians 3:12. Okay, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with hearts of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive any complaint you may have against someone else. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which is the bond of perfect unity. 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, for to this you were called as members of one body. Remember, you is us, and your hearts is us. It's the temple. It's us. Let the peace of Christ, remember how it just said, without peace with everyone, no one will see God. So let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. For to this we were called as members of one body. And be thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. The word is powerful. Richly dwell within you as you, as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God. Whatever we do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So these are keys of how we can guard each other from falling away. Talked about forgiveness and love. And if you have a complaint with one another, forgive right away. Kindness, compassion, humility, meekness, patience. And all of these come from where? The Holy Spirit. Amen. We of ourselves are probably not quite able to do so great on this unity thing, but thankfully we have the Holy Spirit. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another. So that means we don't have just a listening to the pastors teach us once a week. It actually says that we should be teaching and admonishing. What does admonish mean? Correct, teach, adjust, maybe a slightly rebuke. No, maybe not rebuke. No. Surely we shouldn't rebuke each other. But yeah, guiding, directing, yeah, admonishing. We have the responsibility to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, which comes from heaven. And let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. So this is not just you having your little daily Bible plan, which is important, but actually it's all of us together daily dwelling in the word of God together, right? It's not just a you thing where you're reading the Bible and you have your little daily plan and devotion. It's actually let the word of Christ dwell in us richly together. Now we can go back to my slide, my one last slide then. Anyone know what this is called? Okay, I've got here, it's called a testudo. Yeah, testudo, which means a tortoise. Aha! Okay, what is a testudo? So the men would align their shields to form a packed formation covered with shields on the top and bottom, as you can see right there. Plutarch describes this formation as used by Mark Antony, and he says this, "Then the shield bearers wheeled around and closed the light-armed troops within their ranks, dropped down to one knee, and held their shields out as a defensive barrier. The men behind them held their shields over the heads of the first rank. Then the third rank did the same for the second rank." Okay, did you hear that? It's not their own shield covering their head. Whose shield is it? The person behind them. It's kind of cool. The resulting shape, which is a remarkable sight, looks very much like a roof and is the surest protection against arrows, which just glance off of it. And what does the enemy often use on us? Arrows. And even as we're reading the armor of God, who reads that about yourself? I've got to put on my helmet of salvation. You do. However, maybe it's a we thing. We should put on the helmet of salvation together. Whoa, we should have the belt of truth on together. Not just around my waist, around all of our waist. A big belt. Hey, these things come from heaven. Heaven's big. The testudo was used to protect soldiers from all types of missiles, I don't know. It could be formed by immobile troops and troops on the march. There was some drawbacks. However, we're not going to talk about the drawbacks because I think it's just a really cool image of how we protect one another. And I love that it's not our own shield protecting our heads, but it's the neighbor. It's our person behind us. It's our neighbors. We're protecting each other. We are a family, yes. And we protect each other from the arrows of the enemy. Not just my shield of faith protects me from arrows. It's actually my brothers and sisters' shield of faith that can protect me from the arrows of the enemy. We cannot do this alone. You cannot isolate yourself. It will kill you. The arrows will get you from behind, from the side, from underneath, from above, unless we got our shield around us on all sides. Let's just think about that for one moment. Look at this picture and think, how can you be someone else's shield? Or how can you allow someone to be your shield? Whoa. Unity, yes, amen. It's true. Doesn't it say, blessed are those who dwell in unity, for there the Lord is blessing, and his blessing, yes. We know that. We know this. We know unity is important, right? But do we realize how important it is that we can save each other from turning away from God? We can pull each other out of the fire. We can protect each other from the arrows of the enemy. And it's our responsibility. See to it. I think I want to just sort of bring up a little bit about, so we talked about how it's not really possible to do this just coming to church on a Sunday morning, is it? Doesn't really sound that possible. So what are things that you specifically could do to step more into the body, to step more into daily exhortation? So something really cool we've been doing with the young adults is we just finished a study. So we're meeting together on Friday evenings, and we also meet together on Sundays because we see each other here. And then the girls have a group on Thursday mornings that we meet and pray for one another. We're working on it. We're trying. We're like, let's get together, guys, more frequently. But physically, we're maybe not able to see people every day. However, every day, we have cell phones, guys. We have emails. We can check in. We can say, pray for me. This week, I asked for a lot of prayer because we've been going through the ringer. And every day, I think I heard from someone saying, hey, how are you guys doing? Checking in, praying for me. And that lifted me up this week. Like, it was pretty amazing. It wasn't just one person. It was a multitude of people just texting, saying, hey, I heard this. How are you doing? How can we be praying for you? Is there any, you know, something else? And I think that's a blessing because I've put myself out there. I've asked for prayer. And that's maybe something that you need to challenge yourself in. Are you asking for prayer? Are you sharing your troubles? Are you sharing what you're walking through with people? That comes from vulnerability. And vulnerability is not easy for our culture because we're so individualistic and we do things on our own. It's not easy to ask for help or ask for directions. But it takes vulnerability to get here, to get to this point where we're able to have someone shielding our back, to shield our head. Because I want to shield my own head because I trust myself. Do you trust someone else to shield your head for you? I can do it. That's good. We got to trust each other. But trust, where does trust come from? Amen. Thanks, Vlad. We all need help. Yeah, where does trust come from? I think a place of trust comes from time. Time builds intimacy. Being together builds intimacy and builds trust. So you cannot have trust. You cannot trust your brothers and sisters without being together, without meeting. Join a small group. Start a small group. I don't know if it's okay I say that. These are important. You start a little prayer group where many of you guys are probably already part of these. Good. Press more into that. Daily text your brothers and sisters or call them and ask how you've been doing. What are you going through right now? There needs to be depth, needs to be intentionality. Depth includes pain, includes suffering, includes sin, confession. How easy is that? Oof, it's not very easy. But we're commanded to confess your sins to one another. That's hard to do as a culture that's just kind of relying on ourselves. It also includes sharing triumphs and challenges. Vulnerability includes telling the truth, confessing, listening to one another. There needs to be a commitment to transformation. We talked about this in the young adults. Like, community is a commitment to transforming each other. You got to see this out to the end. You know, you can't just run if you don't like them. I've been a part of many very big communities and through YWAM, where we actually live daily together for years at a time. And it's not all suns and roses, and it's not easy. It's not like I picked that community because I liked them all. And I think that you can't pick your community a lot of times. You can't pick and choose, I want these people to be my best friends. Okay, we can. You can do that, and you probably do. However, sometimes it looks messy, and that's okay. That's good. There's a whole thing in psychology called forming, storming, norming, performing. So you got to storm, and that's okay. Storming's good. But that means you walk through it together, and you probably get help from maybe leadership or people that are wiser than you. That's important. And then you'll get to the performing stage. But you have to go through the norming, storming, and forming first. And sometimes small groups, they kind of fizzle out at the storming part. They're like, oh, that's not for me. I'm going to peace out because it was too hard. But that's not good. Don't give up when it's hard. It's normal and it's important because every one of us is different. We are not all the same, and that's okay. It's actually intentional because that's iron sharpens iron. But yeah, iron sharpens iron. That's not necessarily a pleasant thing. You know, we got to grow. There's tension in growth, and don't run away at the first sign of tension. Press in and see how can we learn through this and how can I love you even though I don't like you. That happens in families too, right? And marriages and father-daughter, father-son, son families. And we're a family. So there's going to be times where you love someone but you don't like them. And that's okay. That doesn't mean you need to find another church. There are times where you maybe need to find another church. However, we give up way too easily in this nation. All that to say is press in to one another, even when it's hard and you maybe don't like that person in your group, that doesn't mean you need to leave and find another group or start your own group. That created all the, how many denominations do we have? Press in to one another, not just the Lord. Press in to one another. And do not do this alone. To go far, you need to be together. That's all for now. Oh, I did want to have a little practical thing, but I think it's too late now. So next time for part three, we're all going to pray for one another and share our burdens. Oh, because that was my last verse. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. We'll end with this. Brothers, if someone is caught in a trespass, this is exactly what we've just been saying. Okay, how many times have we read this? If someone's been caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him with a spirit of gentleness. Wow. But also watch yourself or you'll be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry one another's burden. So pray for one another. Share the pain. Share the trials. Share the suffering, even if it's embarrassing. Doesn't matter. You will die if you don't. Oh, yeah, worship team, myself. Okay. Actually, this song that we did at the end, we're going to do it again. It was actually written by a whole bunch of churches in Hong Kong and during COVID. And it is very powerful. It's a song that they wanted to encapsulate the One Movement. It's called One Church. And they have countries from all over the world. You may have heard of it. I don't know. One Church campaign. Anyways, and Hong Kong wanted to do their part. And so tons of churches within Hong Kong wrote this song all together. Basically is, let's be one. Let's come together. And it's so powerful and it's so much scripture in it. So we're going to sing it again. And that's how we'll end.